Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to Inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast on thesportsvirus.com and now on KNBR.com, featuring Giants players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We're also brought to you by Rita's of Hayward, serving Italian ice and frozen custard. Today's guest to talk about the Giants-Dodgers series, John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. John, the Giants are in quite a bind as they head to L.A. for this series that, you know, looked like it was going to be really big as far as trying to win the division. But now at five games back, unless you sweep all six games against the Dodgers, I really don't see that happening. So, you know, what do you think the Giants' mindset is right now? Because you've got a Mets team that's playing pretty good baseball. They've won 7 of 10. Looked like the Giants were doing pretty well there against the Cardinals, and then they lose the last two games. So now the Cardinals maybe have a little momentum. It's been such a downturn for the Giants. How do they get it going here down the stretch and at least get a wild card spot?
Well, who's to say they do? People say, well, if they only finish 500 over the next, you know, 2+ weeks to finish with, well, they haven't proved they can play 500 ball in any given week since the All-Star break. So I guess the mindset is just win today, you know, the old cliche. But it's not that easy. With the bullpen going down the tubes, especially with the ninth inning scenarios, with the hitting not there, the only thing that's consistent seems to be the starting rotation, which you would think would be enough with enough defense, with enough timely hitting, with just enough bullpen help to get you some kind of streak of 3 or 4 games. But it's just not happening. They can't put anything together offensively. They can't come back from a deficit of crooked numbers. They can't mount a rally. They can't hit home runs on a consistent basis. And now they're playing the best team in the division, and Kershaw is healthy. It doesn't look good for them. It's almost like, if they don't sweep, forget about it. And even if they do, I mean, it's still a long shot that they do. But the wild card there, you know, the situation is not as good as it was a week ago when they were leading this thing comfortably somewhat. Now suddenly they're behind one team, barely, you know, ahead of the other. The last two games in against St. Louis We're pretty horrible in terms of a momentum shift.
We'll have more with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, where you might see Giants relief pitcher George Contos.
It's a great golf course. It's very convenient for us to get there. And it's a very challenging course. If you're not in your game, you get in the rough. Rough's long there. It's a very beautiful course. They're very gracious and get us out there anytime we're able to get out there for an off day and play some golf. So, with how beautiful the course is and how challenging it can be, it's always a lot of fun getting out there and playing around.
Well, it's just a killer when you lose a game like they did on Saturday. I mean, that reminded me of the Padres loss. And, you know, there are other areas, like you said, that you could point to on this team, especially the bats. But when you lose those games that you're leading, the Padres' loss was worse. I mean, they were up, 4-1. You know, this one they blow in the ninth inning on Saturday, you know, a 2-1 game. It's just so debilitating to the team. So, you know, time and time again, Bruce Bochy has gone to Santiago Casilla. And finally, I think he's pretty much had enough. He's going to give him a break. But again, I don't know that there's an answer. It's great that Derek Law's healthy now, and maybe they can give him a shot. I don't think that Strickland has proven that he can do that job. I don't even know. Maybe you go with the hot hand. Corey Guerin, he hasn't had a great year, but he struck out 5 out of 6 on Sunday. You know, you're just kind of grasping at this. And we talk about it every podcast, not only with you, but with everybody I've had on this show. And nobody seems to have an answer to it. It's just so frustrating for the Giants. I don't know that you can do any damage, get into the postseason, or even win any series without that settled.
He's tried many people. Strickland, once he fails, he goes to somebody else. Casilla is one guy he stayed with. The name I keep thinking about, and I see none of, is Joe Nathan. I know he's 41, coming off Tommy John surgery, but with all those saves under his belt, with all the coolness he has, with all the intelligence he has, I'm surprised he hasn't been given some kind of shot here. When they don't give it to Casilla, they give it to kids, untested kids, in a playoff, in a must-win game. After what Joe Nathan did back in Chicago with an easy 1-2-3 inning and making Chris Bryant look silly, the next situation was pretty high leverage because he was thrown into a situation. There was a blown save. There was a guy on base. The left fielder didn't make a play for him. And suddenly, he's thrown in the back of the line. I wish Bochy would have trusted Joe Nathan a little bit more, a little bit earlier. Now he's where he's just kind of throwing darts against the wall and hope Derek Law sticks or Strickland comes back again and sticks. But Derek Law is coming off an injury. It's not like he's been throwing a lot lately. He wanted to give him some easy innings before he throws him into a high leverage spot. But now it seems if there's a save situation Monday night or Tuesday night, it's going to go to Derek Law. Can he handle it? Well, he's been the best reliever for the most part, much of the season. But it's a different animal when you throw a guy like that in the ninth inning with 2+ weeks to go in a season, and I guess less than 2 weeks, right?
So right.
He's tried everybody. Unfortunately, he's tried to see it too many times. But that game Saturday really said a lot about this team and the faith they give people who succeeded in years past and maybe how they need to move on. You know, the Bill Walsh mentality, get rid of guys a year early before, they hurt you a year later. And that's what we're seeing out of Casilla. I mean, he's a fine reliever in the seventh, eighth inning, but he's no longer the closer that they can depend on.
More with San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea in just a moment. We all know the Giants season has fluctuated between being very hot and, just after the All-Star break, cold. At least they're not boring. So what about your dessert experience lately? Same old, same old? How about trying a unique, refreshing, frozen dessert from Rita's Ice of Hayward? Rita's is sure to please everyone, offering sugar-free, dairy-free, and all-natural treats. Over 70 flavors of Italian ice to choose from, and 8 flavors of their award-winning frozen custard. The combinations are endless. And this is a cold experience Giants fans can embrace. When you stop by Rita's Ice of Hayward at 26775 Hayward Boulevard, be sure to mention the Sports Virus and you'll receive 1 free regular size Italian ice with a purchase. Rita's Ice of Hayward, Italian ice and frozen custard. Well, there was definitely the faith in Casilla, but there wasn't the faith in Sergio Romo. And, some fans were thinking, just let him go out there. He had kind of a sarcastic smirk on his face when he was pulled out of the game. He got one out, then he gave up a base hit, and then there's no leash at all. It's like, okay, you're out of here. And I don't know. I mean, Bruce Bochy, maybe a little panicky there. Maybe he just doesn't have faith in Romo, once he has a base runner on, and he knows that in more recent times, Casilla has gotten that job done. And Nathan, he's really kind of just not using him at all. I mean, the last 10 days, he's appeared a couple of times, thrown one inning. So I don't know that he has a good feel for bringing Nathan into these spots.
And, maybe he mixes and matches too much. He pulls Romo with Molina coming up, and Molina has good numbers against Romo. So,
right.
Well, here's Casilla. He walks him and then gives up a, ground ball single, and suddenly the game is tied, and then a sac fly, the game is lost. It's a blown save for Casilla. It's a loss for Casilla. And, boy, I have not heard the boos I heard since these Giants teams started winning championships in 2010. That that you know, we're throwing at Casilla, and he heard. He heard every move. And, you know, Bochy was booed for making the move. Casilla was booed because he's Casilla. He was booed coming out there. He was booed when he walked the guy. He was booed when he gives up a single. And he was booed when he came off the mound. And usually he walks off the mound. But, you know, when he heard the boos, he started jogging and he started clapping to himself inside his glove. And I asked him about it later. And, by the way, it was quite a scene post-game with Casilla. A lot of guys around him, you know, I asked him several questions, and he was a stand-up guy. You know, many people over the years that I've covered in an ugly game like that, sometimes you don't see them, or sometimes one-word answers. But without an interpreter, Santiago Casilla was a stand-up guy, stayed at his locker, answered every question. Some fans questioned what he said. You know, one of the things he said is, you know, I did my best. He said, I'm happy. I'm not sad. It is what it is. All that stuff. But he also explained, listen, I got the ground ball. You know, it was almost double play, but it turned out to be a base hit. That's the difference. That's baseball. He called it a crazy game. So he was very good at his locker after the game. Like I said, many times over the years when you want to talk to a closer who blew a game, you know, he's in the trainer's office forever, or he just leaves. And this guy stayed there, to his credit, and faced the music and took it. But the bottom line is, it's just not working with him. And as Bochy said, they've got to tweak it. And that means Law and or Strickland. But for now, it seems like it's Law.
You know, honestly, I don't know, John, how some of these closers handle the mental part of that. It's almost like you need a daily psychologist to deal with it. And, you know, I don't know if I've heard boos like that since Armando Benitez was the Giants closer. I mean, it's got to be difficult. And, you know, you think about it, like if a guy is 0 for 30 and comes up to the plate, I don't know in San Francisco that he gets booed, maybe in Philadelphia or New York or Boston. But the closer spot, it doesn't matter where you are around baseball. People just recognize that you blow a few saves in a pennant race and they are all over you. And it's all your fault, which I don't totally agree with, John. I think there's been a lot of little mistakes that have led to this small margin for error. I mean, you know, look at base running. There, you know, there have been base runners picked off. I mean, Denard Span not only picked off on that one that looked like a balk, but there was one where there's a throw to the plate and it's obviously going to get cut off, and then he gets thrown out. You know, it's like, I don't hear people booing about that later on, you know, and that could cost you a run. You know, it's an out where a guy could have just still been on base.
Since Tony La Russa implemented this one-inning closer bit back in the late 80s with Eckersley, it's become an incredibly high-pressure job, and some people just couldn't handle it. I mean, the sad story of Donnie Moore, which we don't need to get into, but listen, you know, I'm talking about closers, one-inning guys, facing the music. I remember, well, Lipscomb wasn't a closer, but when he struggled, there's I think it's just probably his worst year. He was at his locker every game and spoke and spoke and spoke. And he said he used that Q&A with reporters as therapy so that when he left the clubhouse, he left the clubhouse. He could just turn the page. And that's, you know, Rod Beck was good at that. I remember Rod Beck was, you know, the ultimate stand-up guy. The one time he was so ticked off after a blown save, we were in San Diego, he said, "I'm not talking today." I said, "Whoa, that's unusual." "That's fine, though. Hey, no worries. I mean, for the most part, he's there." The next day, he calls all the beat writers over and apologizes. I said, "No, you don't got to do that." But it just goes to show how much he thought that was part of the gig. Now, with Eckersley, I mean, when we think of Hall of Famers, what do you think of with Mays? Well, he made the great catch.
Right.
What do you think of Aaron? Well, the replay, the home run, he surpassed the base. You know, what do you think about Clemente? Well, the base running, the throw to third base from right field. You know, all these positive things. But the one highlight of Eckersley is what?
The Kirk Gibson home run,
yeah.
Right?
So he's in the Hall of Fame, and when you think of Eckersley, that's the first highlight. You know, looking over his left shoulder and watching this, you know, historic ball fly over the wall at Badger Stadium. And that's that. So, you know, I was at that game, and afterward, he talked and talked and talked, and wave after wave after wave of media, he just wouldn't stop talking. You know, that was his way. I mean, the ultimate stand-up. You know, managers, pitching coaches, teammates, they all appreciate that because they don't have to talk on your behalf. You're doing it for them. You know, and then Joe Nathan's the same way. After a blown save, he realized that's part of the gig. When I succeed, you know, I get praised. And when I don't, I need to face the music. So you know, the bottom line is, you know, with Casilla, it was a big thing, you know, that he did that. But, again, he probably won't be in that situation again because I don't think he'll get another blown save because I don't think he'll get another blown or another save opportunity.
We'll get back to the conversation with John Shea right after this.
Hey, how'd you get those cool new shirts for the trade show so fast?
Access!
Who makes all that great clothing for high schools and colleges?
Access!
How do I get my company logo embroidered on some nice polo shirts?
Access Uniforms is your go-to resource for customized clothing. Just call us to find the right product, email your artwork, and your order will be on its way directly from our factory right here in Burlingame. Call Access Uniforms at 877-755-LOGO. That's 877-755-L-O-G-O.
By the way, John, we'll talk about Vin Scully, and he's winding down his career here on Wednesday when we podcast again and talk about this Giants-Dodgers series. And by the way, Scully had one of his great calls in that Eckersley home run that he gave up to Kirk Gibson when he said, in a season that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened. I mean, he always found the right words for every moment, right?
Not only the right words, but the right time not to say the right words. After Gibson hit the home run, he circles the bases, Lasorda comes out and hugs everybody. There must have been 2 minutes before he said another word, before he said,
yeah,
what you just said.
That's awesome.
And, and you know, most announcers will just, you know, talk over the act. We're watching on TV. We don't need to hear you.
Exactly.
That's one good thing about Vinny, one of a million great things about Vinny, is he knows when to broadcast and when not to broadcast. And that
right
Gibson home run, just like what he did with the Aaron home run, he just went to the back of the announcer's booth and let it all play out. He doesn't have to say a word, and it was all pricey.
Yeah, he definitely knows how to pace it. Let's talk about the upcoming Giants-Dodgers series starting tonight, Monday night. Madison Bumgarner, Clayton Kershaw. Now, you know, Bumgarner has done well in these matchups, not dominating, but 4-3 in the 9 starts against Kershaw. But Kershaw, his overall numbers against the Giants are staggering. I mean, he's 18-7 against the Giants, 1.62 ERA. And the thing that really jumps out more at me, John, are these batting averages that the Giants have, the current Giants against Kershaw. Really the only guy that's hitting him well is Angel Pagan at 290. Buster Posey's at 237, two homers, and that's actually not bad compared to the other guys. All the other guys are hitting a combined 110. I mean, Brandon Belt, 065. Brandon Crawford, 083. It's Hunter Pence, 094. Even a right-handed batter, it's as if the Giants have no chance against this guy to make you know, this a decent game as far as scoring runs.
Yeah, and it's, if they don't manufacture runs, take a walk, run them over, and try to get a ground ball through the infield, you know, the way Maury Wills and company used to beat teams with Koufax and Drysdale, then they might not be able to get it done because this guy is so good. And you know he's going to be good in September. I mean, he's been dreaming about these moments when he was on the DL all that time, and it's no coincidence they slotted him in the rotation when they did so that he would face the Giants twice, and we're seeing him in the opener. Now, with Bumgarner, it is, you know, he's been on and off lately, and he's got to have his A game for this situation. He's got to finish strong to give this sluggish offense a chance because, you know, we're talking about it's going to be 2-1, right? It's probably going to be 9-8 now. That's just how corny baseball is.
Right.
But they can't make mistakes. I mean, they can't have Angel Pagan misjudge a fly ball and force his shortstop to make this crazy play in the ninth inning, like as was the case the other day.
Yeah.
In the Casilla game. Now, the problem with that is Bochy was asked this before the Sunday finale against the Cardinals. Well, you have Marquis Hernandez, and you have Greider Blanco, who's off the DL, two exceptional defenders, yet you're finishing the game with Denard Span, who doesn't throw well, and Angel Pagan, who hasn't played good defense at all lately.
He's not moving and around the way he normally can, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, instead of saying, we'll probably shuffle those guys in defensively in a one-run game in the eighth or ninth, he said, well, we're going to go with our guys. So on that sacrifice fly, the other night, he span through like a four bouncer to second base, and you got to have a good defense. I mean, this team has won with good defense. He was not afraid, to take Bonds out and put Nate Scherholz in late innings. He was not afraid to take Burrell out, Aubrey Huff out, and put in Scherholz and Travis Ishikawa for defensive reasons. But he doesn't seem to do that with Pagan. And, it's a pride thing. Pagan wants to finish the game. Well, you know what? The team matters more than what he might think. And you wonder if that's going to be an issue down the stretch. I mean, it has been an issue, and they can't afford not to have their best defense in a game with this shaky bullpen, especially late.
No doubt. When you look at the two managers, it's interesting, too, because Dave Roberts is getting a lot of recognition right now, people thinking about he's the manager of the year with all the injuries that the Dodgers had to come back. And, lately it's been about this five-game lead for about, a couple weeks here. But when the Dodgers lose, they come back from down six against Arizona and then lose the game. The Giants haven't been having, rallies like that, or even if you lose where it's like, okay, yeah, we got back in the game, that kind of thing. It's just everything seems to be shaping up to where the Dodgers are playing better at this time of year, getting contributions from, younger pitchers you didn't expect, whereas the Giants, those guys that Bochy depends on, they're not doing the job when he needs them to do it.
I think it'll be Joe Madden versus Dave Roberts for manager of the year. Madden, everything's been working.
Yeah.
And Roberts, without Kershaw, the job he did, and he's not afraid to get rid of Puig when Puig needed to get rid of, and he wasn't afraid to be strict on the guy. He's not afraid to do certain things that might tick people off. Hey, you pulled a guy out of a perfect game. You pulled a guy out of a no-hitter. I mean, as a rookie manager, are you kidding me? Back in the day, he would have gotten clobbered by Nolan Ryan if he ever tried to do that to him. But that's the way it is with the pitch counts, and he has the final say. And those guys respect him and play for him. And maybe to an extent they didn't do that with Mattingly. And, Puig kind of walked all over him in a lot of ways. So I think you got to give a huge hand to Roberts, the ex-Giant, who, back when Bonds played, he finished his career as a Giant, friend of a lot of people on the team. So it's not like you can hate the guy like he's Lasorda or Mattingly, right, or any of these other guys, right?
No, you can't hate them.
but anyway, that's going to be something to watch too. The late inning work, and the strategies of Bochy and Roberts in the three games in L.A.
Definitely can't hate Roberts. You can't hate Vin Scully, and we'll talk more about him on Wednesday in our next podcast, John, and we'll be two games into this series. A lot can happen in a couple of games. We'll have 11 to go after Tuesday's game. And, also we'll get into the Padres and what they've done to the Giants, because I know you wrote about that as well. So look forward to chatting again on Wednesday. Enjoy the first two games of this series against the Dodgers.
Thanks, Joe. See you then.
That's John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. And actually, we will talk to John again on Thursday, when we will review the series against the Dodgers and look ahead to the Giants-Padres series in San Diego. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com and now on KNBR.com.